Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. Thank you for joining us. Today is May 9th, 2017. It's 8 o'clock in the morning here on the West Coast. I'm in Eugene, Oregon. I want to thank you for listening to our show. And I'm glad that I hope that you enjoyed the sort of reruns we had lined up on Friday and Monday. I took midterm exams and decided not to do the show and just run some great reruns. We had Kay Dry on and Mr. Brad Yates, who's an EFT teacher. So I think those are two of the most valuable interviews that I've done in the last 2 years. So thank you for joining us. Today we have with us a guest that I just very recently met. Her name is Ananda Elise Reese. She is the Oregon State Representative for the Ubuntu Contributionism action here going on. And Ananda, thank you for joining us. Since I have know very little about your organization, you know, we sort of met and talked about the sort of the general ideas, and I was like, wow, that's great. I want to thank you for joining us, and we'll talk more about this.
Well, thank you for having me, and it's no accident we tripped into each other, but this is going to be exciting. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I don't think, I agree with you. I don't think it's an accident. Things happen on purpose. So why don't you give our listeners a little bit, well, first off, tell them your page, how people can find you, and then give us a short introduction to what Ubuntu Contributionism is and what it means to us.
Hey, you can find us on our webpage at www.ubuntu-eugene.com, and that's ubuntu-eugene.com.
Excuse me, I'm going to jump in there. When you say dash Eugene, that means this is a worldwide movement, correct?
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So. Yeah. We do have our Eugene local chapter, but we're very proud to be part of a large global movement.
Okay, well, tell us, what is it? What is Ubuntu?
Ubuntu officially means I am who I am because of who we all are. And it was founded by a man named Michael Tellinger, who is an archaeologist, a scientist, an explorer, an author. He's written many books. He was raised in South Africa. His father was part of the owner of a mining company. Mm-hmm. And as long as you worked for the mining company, everything in town was free for you. And so this is the way Michael Tellinger was raised, that you went to the store and got what you needed, and you got the petrol or the gas that you needed, and everything you needed was provided for you as long as you worked in the mine. Well, when he grew older and started to get a teenager and going off to other towns, he was realizing people were paying for things. And he's wondering, well, what is that about? That's strange for him. So that's his come from. That's his background. And
so let me ask you this. Was that true for the black people that worked, the Africans who worked there, the black Africans who worked there? So anybody
Everybody
who works for the mine just goes to the store, get what you need. Now, if you quit the mine, do you owe them money?
I don't know about that. I just know that that's where his original concept of the world
so
came
from. Yeah, when he went out into the world, he's like, what do you mean I have to pay for stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
fair
so
take.
He went on a world tour from there, looking into studying the human race before there was money, and coming to the shocking realization that money was actually not part of our evolutionary process, but really actually part of a process invented by a very few families in the world who controlled all the money and set it up so that they would continue to control all the money and hence control all the people. And so most of what we associate money with is based of being slaves, actually, to money.
Could you repeat that again? There was a little blank. What did you say? Something about being all the money, that they controlled all the money, and then you started to skip.
Yeah. Very few people introduced money, and the intention for that was to keep people enslaved.
Right.
And we are
just
still
like
enslaved.
Now, and we are still enslaved, right?
Yes, we are.
Wow.
Yes, we are. And our children are raised to sit in school and sit in a chair for 8 hours a day and get good grades so you can grow up and be part of the corporate world and still stay enslaved.
That is actually true. As an enslaved person, I agree.
Right.
I can see that. Maybe that's why I like you so much. Like, you're my, what do they call that? The escape train, the midnight train or the night train or whatever they used to call that, where they got people out of slavery, you know? So, this idea, how do we bring Ubuntu contributionism? How does it work? It's called contributionism because we all, I did a little bit of research into this just briefly because I just met you, and all full disclosure, I met her yesterday afternoon and I went, wow, I want you on my show. Because I had just planned on talking today, to be honest. I've been off the show for 2 days and I just was going to open up the airlines and bring a lot of information about the nuclear leaks. There's a lot of things that have gone wrong that people need to know to protect themselves. So that's what I do on my show when I don't have a guest. But this idea is about all of us contributing and exchange. Instead of using money and cash, we're going to exchange our services, our humanity, I guess.
Exactly, yeah. People will do what they want to do, and everyone will contribute just a little bit, and there will be a huge amount of freedom along with that. So the plan is that it starts with a small town or a small village, and people work together and become members of the Ubuntu contributionism, and they all contribute small amounts of time, maybe 3 hours a week. And the idea is based on the success of the idea is based on the fact that we will create a mass labor force. So, for example, if you have
I think it's just like this radio show. Our show is viable because we have a platform on UCY.TV. None of us get paid. We all contribute and create the radio station. We all put in an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Some shows are an hour a week. Most shows are once a week or twice a week, smaller amounts. You know, one other show is 5 days a week. The producer, Jewel, she has an awesome show called Before the First Cup. I'm sure you're not very familiar because I just met you yesterday. But we're an online radio show. And that's exactly how it works. A little bit of contributionism. We each contribute, and we have this really dynamic radio station that offers a huge venue of opinions. And it brings us all together. And we all get to listen to each other's opinions. We're all respectful. We have, like, there's a guy that is a avid listener of our show, Michael. He's a host of the Primer Time. Him and his brother, I think, is in the military. They talk about guns. I find it fascinating, but yet he and I have had some very really beautiful, humane conversations. It's actually been a great venue.
Yeah. Well, in the future, when people become aware of Ubuntu contributionism, they will contribute their time, and in exchange for that, they will get back what they need to live on. We're striking for free energy. Lately, in the last few years, and especially in the last few months, surprisingly enough, there is, of course, you know that we have all the technology we need to do anything on this planet. But lately, in the last few years, and especially very, very lately, all kinds of free energy ideas and sources are coming to the surface. And so it's getting time for us to get free energy. So in exchange for your contributionism, you'll get free energy. And in addition to that, you'll get your free food, and everything that you need will come to you because you contribute. Now, it's going to take a little while to do that, but I'm absolutely convinced that Eugene, Oregon can be an Ubuntu town overnight, because when people start contributing 3 hours a day, 3 hours a week, and they're getting free energy, it's not going to take very long before people are saying, well, I work 60 hours a week and I don't get free energy. What's with that? So they're going to start jumping in left and right, and this will be an Ubuntu town before you know it.
Now, what kind of – okay, so I actually have not signed up yet. I was looking at it last night, and, on the contributions with the work, like, you put in 3 hours of work doing what? What kind of contribution is it?
Well, you think about, what does it take to run a city? Well, we've got, we have to maintain the city. We have to maintain the library and the schools and the hospitals and the police department and everything it takes to run a city will be run by the citizens. And so the city is not owned by the government. It's owned by the people. And money doesn't do anything, but people do. And so people would be contributing their time to take care of what it takes to maintain a city. Now, here's the interesting part. Once our city is taken care of, then people will be contributing 3 hours a day on what they love to do. And when people do what they love to do, that will be including inventions, research on cancer healing. It'll be doing...
Oh, man, you're jumping in now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, am I?
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm trying to stay still here. when people are contributing what their passion is, then of course there'll be much more invention and much more technology and much more healing and health and all kinds of things like that.
Well, interestingly enough, this topic is exactly what I've been studying the last 4 weeks in my I'm taking a public policy and democracy class, and the professor's a young professor. He's very excited about the digital community, about in-kind service. He actually spent several classes talking about how we're going to be in a place where we don't actually, the paper that we hold in our hands, the coins that we hold in our hands really mean nothing. It's about contribution, about what the value for service that you're getting. So, he's really big into the Bitcoin and to the alternative currency and something called the blockchain. Are you familiar with the blockchain?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so the blockchain is really just an online digital ledger that everybody has access to. Anybody who buys like Bitcoin, you get a code to get into it. So everybody keeps everybody accountable because everybody's seeing the ledger. That's part of the problem with the money system is like, who's valuing this and where is that gold anyways?
Well, Michael Pellinger says that, they print money based on nothing out of thin air. They just need more money, they print more. And that's how they bail out corporations and banks, and but the people actually need to be bailed out, but the fund, those funds are not available. So we create them ourselves. We create our own reality. We own our own city, the air, the water, all of it belongs to the people. And, you know, government doesn't get to control or destroy our land. Who says that? So it, the way that it's going to transform, it's actually going to use the system to get rid of the system, because people will say, well, Michael Tellinger's coming to town on June 6th, but it costs a ticket. I said, why are you charging money if you're going for a moneyless society? They say, well, for one thing, we're not there yet. I have to pay for advertising just to make sure that Michael Tellinger gets here. But the point is that eventually, you know, we will be using money as a system to outgrow the system. Because when we do enough advertising and Michael Tellinger comes here and enough people get involved with Ubuntu and they start contributing more money, then the more of them will be more aware of how we don't need money. So it will outgrow the money-driven society.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I get that. And I only get it because I've been studying this idea about digital currency, to be honest. It sort of lit a light bulb. That's what, I mean, prior to taking this class, I had the whole digital thing just kind of like, I could not understand it. But there's a whole set of language. There's a whole concept behind it, just as in the money system. But this is what I was thinking about, actually, when I was looking at it. How do you really take over the government? Actually, what happens is the government still functions. It's just there's no money to be, there's no taxes collected. It's, I mean, we have a subsystem of how do you take care of the roads. All of that stuff is still going on. So when it becomes a system of us, and actually I think what will happen is it'll transform quickly, because the old systems of relying on fossil fuel and things that harm the environment, we know that there's actually technology out there that can supersede the fossil fuel industry. That's the bottom line.
And Michael Tellinger says that if you just cut people loose and don't contrive them with money, they will invent whatever it is they need to survive and thrive.
Right. And thrive. Thrive. It's not just survive. I agree with that. I love that idea of thriving, because we need to do more than just survive. I mean, the other aspect of that is it will, if we just let people go and we take the handcuffs off of culture, we can actually heal the massive harm that's been done to humanity and our planet over the last 100 years by technologists.
And who needs money for that?
Well, you know, this is the interesting thing. You listen to these people. We need to have billions of dollars to invest. And, you know, I've had a gentleman on here, him and his partner, have a really great idea to bring us through some technology that they have figured out. He's an engineer. It's a little system that you could just put in your house right now, plug it into the current system the way we're in, and it gives you in perpetuity electricity. It's unbelievable. But he needs
that's what I'm talking about.
Yes. Yeah. Now, right now, because of the system we're in order for him to get that thing up and running, this is the catch-22, right, between contributionism and where we're at right now. We're in that. We're just about to jump off the ledge. We haven't done it. So we still need money, which is why you need to ask people to contribute some money to pay for Michael Tellinger to get here, because we're not there yet. But
that's exactly
like,
right.
You know, he actually really has, his name is Larry Woods. He has this really great idea. Shaziz is another gentleman that I know that I've interviewed who has it, but Shaziz's position is you don't really need money. You just need to be able to build it. He's way in with you on this contributionism thing. Larry's is more of a system where he needs like millions of dollars to just get this thing in production so we can get it out to people at a reasonable cost, right?
Okay, but, so the contribution result to that would be that we create a massive labor force. So, you know, if we have 1,500 hours a week of people contributing their time, and Larry needs, you know, 600, 800 hours a week of people doing the work in order to make it available. You just exchange labor and time for money. So what does he really need? Does he really need the money, or does he need people to do the work?
No, my understanding is he needs machinery, because this is big coils that need to be done, and it takes him and another partner like 8 or 9 hours to do it. So they need, there's machinery and things that they can do that'll cut that in half, that they can get it done like boom, you know what I mean?
Okay, so if you had 1,000 hours a week,
go ahead.
If you had 1,000 hours a week of people contributing that time to make those coils, then there you go.
I don't know, but sometimes it's how do you deal with the idea that you just need technology, that you need like the machinery, the big hydraulic stuff to make things work? How does that happen?
Well, you know, the solution that contributionism offers is to create a massive labor force. And a massive labor force bigger than any company or any government can ever match. But people raise their hands for 3 hours a week, and you have a massive amount of people doing that. Most what he would be paying for is people's time to be able to be building the machines. And the technology, all technology is free. It just is something we invent.
Yes, but I mean, the question is, but how would that work where you need a machine, a big hydraulic machine? There's, you know, you get the idea, you don't need a million people, you just need someone to build a machine and then turn it on. Like, how does that work? Because most big machinery, most of these big places, they employ 5 people, and they're really more or less engineers, and the labor is done by 3 or 4 people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. I guess these are all the things that we work out as the system goes along, because these are things.
That's what I was just going to say. You know, we're going to be challenging all kinds of things when we substitute money for contributionism. And the thing is that Michael Tellinger keeps encouraging us about is that we're going to be able to handle whatever problems come up because we're working together at it, and because we're not separate, we're unified. And we all want the same thing. And so there's going to be a bazillion problems coming up. But you know what? Bring it on.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, we kind of have to start somewhere. I mean, this is the issue. I mean, we can't keep doing. And the reality is, we are being poisoned every single day. I mean, they are bombarding us with geoengineering. I personally think the geoengineering happens at the same time we have nuclear leaks. I think since I've started paying attention to nuclear stuff, I think they're hand in hand. But, I mean, this is a massive system that is self-destructing, frankly. Like, we have got to choose to do something else.
Not only are we being poisoned with actual chemicals, but we're also being poisoned with the idea of scarcity and limitation and fear and lack, and that we're told lies about how we're not capable and we're not able, and we have to keep working for the corporations in order to survive. All of those things is all poison. It's all poison.
I mean, they really are making an effort to move us into the AI, the artificial intelligence. So we have all these machines. That's their idea of making it work, you know? I mean, it's the idea of taking humans out of life on the planet. Like, we're just superfluous. You know what I mean? It's, I just don't get it.
Actually, it is humanity that's going to turn it around. And it is humanity that's going to claim their planet back and their cities back and their freedom back. And, you know, in that process, we will be contributing next to people that we don't even know yet. And, you know, you put in 3 hours every week to maintain your city. You'll learn a lot of skills. You'll be out among. We're going to come out of isolation and separateness.
That is one of the big keys here is isolation and separateness. Many people suffer from being lonely, from being isolated, and yet they're very afraid of going out or getting involved. And the other thing on top of that is the reason they're afraid is our culture is teaching people to be mean. The name calling, the maliciousness is out of control. Like, I had a anti-nuker that I'm friends with call me up yesterday and go, Lonnie, do you know they're calling us nuketards now? I'm like, who cares? Whatever. It doesn't matter whether they want to admit whether Fukushima is leaking or not, or whether it's harmful or not. It's harmful. People are going to die. Animals are dying at an unprecedented rate. The ocean is practically, I mean, it's in serious shape. I mean, the salmon are practically disappeared. I think they're extinct. I mean, practically. The whales, I mean, mass animal deaths that are going on this planet, whether we pay attention to it or not, it's still going on.
Yeah.
Kids are still dying from technological pollution.
And a lot of the isolation in that and fear is just because we're not out there. We're not contributing. We're not unifying. Right. And, you know, we just get to become aware of each other and what it takes to run our planet and work side by side with that. And in that is going to be all kinds of growth opportunities and problems and new boundaries. But, you know, I have faith in humanity more than I do anything else on this planet. And I know for sure that if we were united, we could do this. We could do anything, and including and especially outgrow money.
Outgrow money. I like that idea that we outgrow money. I mean, in a way, the way they're looking after it to me is just, I often have called myself the Mother Teresa of tax resolution because, to be honest, I think it is ethically immoral for a person who helps people with taxes to make $300,000, $400,000 a year, which there's people out there doing that. Like, I could easily double my fees. Like, and be more respected. People actually don't respect you in this culture if you don't charge them a lot of money for professional fees. It's very interesting. The double-edged sword.
Imagine what's going to happen with that paradigm when there is no money.
Right, exactly. And this is why people throw themselves out of buildings over money. Like, really?
Yeah.
I mean, as if being poor is the worst thing in the world. Like, and the idea of I was a single mother with two children in Los Angeles, and I was not in college. I mean, I became an enrolled agent when I was 40 after my kids were grown because I had the time to go take an extra class to maybe improve our income, right? That's why I did it. That was really why I did it. I'm like, wow, I could do this and I could be self-employed. I wouldn't have to deal with all these idiots that I'm having to work for. So,
yeah.
But this is the thing. It's not hard. My children did not know they were poor when we were little. Like, when they got to high school, we grew up in Redondo Beach. Now, I did work a lot. I had to work 2-3 jobs, and I didn't make a lot of money. I mean, to be honest, I never really made, when my kids were little, I think my highest earnings was $26,000 a year. I mean, we struggled. My rent was $1,100 a month, so that'll tell you where we were. And I mean, but you know what? There are things we can do, and it wasn't until they got into high school that they realized we weren't like, Rit, we didn't have a lot of money. Like, one of their friends, their dad bought them a BMW for school, right? And that's when they realized, like, they're just not the same. It was very interesting for my girls to talk to me about this because they were like, they didn't talk to me about it until we were adults. And they're like, we really honestly didn't know because I have a philosophy of life is rich, you know? Like, that's what's the real life is the each other and the life. It doesn't matter. The money that you have doesn't make you rich.
Right.
To be honest, for me, I think about the slave traders. I can't help. Like, when someone talks to me about working in a mine, like, the slaving, even chocolate, just all of it, the whole thing. I mean, our system is so out of whack that the idea of contributionism appeals to me, even if it's a difficult challenge.
And the one thing that I have to acknowledge about the whole Ubuntu plan is it is a plan. There's a plan to follow. There's lots and lots of interest groups about all kinds of things, alternative everything. And, I think if we put everybody in the same room together, we would have world peace in a minute. But the point is that there's lots of interest groups, and they meet and they gather and they talk. But actually, the Ngupta contributionism has a plan, and it's very, very doable. And any town can do it. And we're starting it here in Eugene, Oregon.
Is this the same thing as the Ubuntu Planet when you look for it online? So that's what it is. Ubuntu Planet. Where does that name come from, Ubuntu? It's South African. That's a name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it means I am who I am because of who we all are. And
all of that in one little word?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh. Lots of indigenous groups have a word that means something similar to that, like the Native Americans use the word Dankashua, which means all of our relation. And that's very similar to the Mbutu, we all. We are who we are because of who we all are. So it's ancient. It's very ancient. Michael Tellinger studies the ancient societies, the hidden origins. A talk called Hidden Origins, and he talks about us as human beings and where we actually came from and who we were before money was invented or induced into our system. It's not part of our evolutionary process at all. It's not natural. It's something that some very small family groups invented to control people, and they still are. It's gotten way, way out of hand, and it's out of balance, just like so many other things on the planet that you just mentioned, not only in the human kingdom, but in the animal kingdom, and all the kingdoms are suffering right now. But it takes that much to wake us up, because when we're too comfortable, we don't see anything wrong with the world, just like the children didn't see anything wrong with the world at all, but they were not rich children. It's like being a fish in water. You don't even really know there's water around you.
Right,
until
exactly.
There's no water, you know? And so
exactly.
That's what has to happen. And actually, frankly, the way things are right now in America and the way our whole political system is and everything, I just cheer it on because it means good. All kinds of systems that don't work are going to have to die in order for the new phoenix to arise.
Well, they are dying, and Donald Trump is literally murdering them. He's
going
out with a dagger, you know?
It's okay, because someone had to bring it about. There's too many systems that are not working.
Well, I think that's kind of like what the overlords decided. See, I sort of run on this idea that the government, they're just like the military is out of control. They built up a military. When they realized after World War II, they could build weapons that could destroy the planet. Why do you think right now, even though Fukushima is spewing radioactive contamination into the air and into the Pacific every day, nonstop, over 100,000 tons into the Pacific every single day? I mean, they have now, they only admit to 400,000, but they used to say, it's like 100,000 tons or something, some huge number, right? Which they keep scaling back because they don't want us to think about it. But it's killing the ocean. And yet uranium stocks are off the charts. They are big, big money, while Toshiba is going bankrupt. So something's wrong with that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at this site called UbuntuPlanet.org, and it says, out of unity comes infinite diversity and abundance. I am who I am because of all of who we all are. And then there's a quote from Michael Tellinger. Now, I did do some, yesterday when I met you, you're like, oh, Michael Tellinger. And you looked at me like, I should know who he is. So I went to YouTube and I'm like, I discovered there are a lot of people who know who he is. There's thousands and thousands of people who follow his videos. So I started listening to him, and he has some very, quote, alternative ideas, of which I come from the YouTube community, so I've heard of these. In fact, he was talking about the history of money and the divergence, the different species that used to live on our planet, and how we have a very different history than what has been told. And I haven't heard this part.
True.
And even the idea about the flat earth, I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that part of the tape, but that's partly what piqued my interest, because my friend Tom Ackerman believes this. I think he really has come to the conclusion that that's probably a more reasonable idea than what we've been told.
You
So,
know, it's true. And Michael can go off into all kinds of directions. But the thing is, all of his research and his experience and his knowledge, and he's even got a museum in his own property. All of his knowledge has led us to the bottom line is we need to unify, and we need to treasure our earth, and we need to work together.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. You know, there's that like that protest song that's going on, right? Do you know that song? We're on a planet that has a problem. We've got to solve it, get involved, and do it now, now, now. We need to build a better future, and we need to start right now. So when I go
well,
out,
well, that just sums it up.
Exactly. I sit out on the street corners with my protest signs by myself because nobody wants to protest anymore.
Oh, me too.
Out. Good. Well, we'll start. Well, we can start protesting ourselves together.
Hey,
and sharing.
We got an army going on now. There's two of us.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. Well, you know what? There's a lot of people. This is the thing. I often see comments on YouTube. Like, we're YouTubers. I mean, this is a thing. I am. I do like YouTube because it allows people to speak their mind. Although on my YouTube channel, I have a YouTube channel, Nuts for Art. I don't argue with anybody. I just delete them. You can't come on my channel and say anything negative about me or anybody else, any of the commenters. I just delete people. I don't block you. If you come back twice and say nasty things, then I just block you. I don't even participate in the like, well, you should not be doing that. Like, really, if I have to tell you, I don't want you on my page.
Yeah.
So, like,
well, and we're learning to decipher as a human race who inspires us and who enriches us and who doesn't, and it's all choice. And I do believe that as we unify ourselves and come together and contribute together, we're going to find a more commonality than differences.
How many states is Ubuntu in? Is it just
they're all over the United States. And there's, they have regional coordinators in most of the states. I can't really, you can go on the website and see all the regional coordinators from their states. It's just now starting to get organized to that level. There is a core group, they're called ambassadors, and they have different, it's very organized really for a world organization. They have ambassadors of different categories. And the one that I've been in touch with mostly is the Ambassador of Education. And it just so happens, here's kind of a coinky-dink for you, that the day that Donald Trump announced that he's going to dismantle our education system was the same day the Ubuntu ambassador came out with a whole new curriculum for the United States. So I think that's kind of curious.
Really? That's good.
Oh, yeah.
That's really?
Like, what are the chances of that? So I'm sure that they did not plan that together, but it's the fact is that one system is dismantling and the other one is rising up to take its place. And the new curriculum will involve skill sets that children can learn in order to contribute when they get older. You're going to have skills in order to contribute. You can't just have people, you know, that know nothing contribute on how to run our city. So they're going to teach them skills that they need to have in order to survive and thrive and manifest in their life. So it's not sitting children in hard seats for 8 hours a day and having kids coming out of high school not knowing how to bake bread or how to plant a garden or how to grow their food or any of that. So the whole new curriculum is a combination of lots of alternative education systems like Waldorf and Montessori and all kinds of different education systems that involve the whole child.
I'll tell you, my grandchildren are homeschooled, and the idea of going into a regular school makes them shudder. Like they do go to something called farm school, where that's kind of where they learn their math and science. They go to like a farm, and they go twice a week. There's a bunch of other kids that go, and they play on them. I mean, it's very interesting. The whole philosophy is you learn by playing, right?
So, yeah.
I mean,
exactly
that's
right.
Antithetical to what they do in the United States. Sit down, shut up, and hold still, you know? So I went on to Ubuntu. It's called ubuntuplanet.org. And on there, there's a drop-down menu that says Connect, or Global Community. It says Get Involved. And I linked myself to the page where it says Connect with Local Groups. The cool thing about this map, this worldwide map, is it has little dots showing all the communities where they are, all the members. So in the United States, it looks like there's one, two, three or four of them here. But it says how many members there are. Oh, man, there's a lot when you go in close. There are members all throughout the United States, every little city. I mean, it's dotted. I mean, it must be.
This is no small thing. This is a very large thing. It's catching on very fast. I'm very honored to be the Oregon State representative. And, it's just absolutely incredible, the speed that it's catching on with, just because everyone is so thirsty for the same thing of being unified and making sense of our world and coming up with an alternative that we can all live with. And, it is very, very massive. And the interesting thing is, of course, all the technology is available to us, but our core ambassadors, there's a whole technical ambassador, and they take care of the website. Our website is capable of handling all of the community projects in every city and every country in the world.
Wow.
It's not functioning at that level yet, because not every city is an Ubuntu town yet, but it is capable of keeping track of all of the Ubuntu villages.
Wow.
And this was all.
Well, the website's
donated.
Really awesome. And actually, when you click into an area on the map when you go there, it's a really great website. It actually brings you into, I clicked on the one that looked like it was in New York, right? But actually, it's not just New York, the big city. It tells you exactly, the areas. There's people all over Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Pennsylvania, New York, New Hampshire, Vermont. I mean, it's pretty awesome. There's even people in Texas, for goodness sakes. For real. There's a lot of people in Texas.
Yeah.
In little towns. Well, you know what? It's because we do need to be able to exit the slavery scene. This murder, death, kill routine is not working for anybody on the planet. I mean, they are accomplishing their task. I mean, George Bush said it very perfectly. Mission accomplished in 2004. He tidied up the bow that allowed these scenarios that are happening today to happen. And it is time for us to take it back. Their paradigm is not our paradigm.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Wow. Well,
yeah,
I'm
it's
excited.
An exciting time, actually.
So when Michael Tillinger will be here, what kinds of things will he discuss? What is on the agenda, do you know?
Well, he normally does a talk called Hidden Origins, and he takes you back from the origin of the human race, and he does a lot of archaeology talk and that kind of thing. But for us in Eugene, he specifically is only talking about Ubuntu contributionism and how to build our city up into a community. So we're really privileged to have him. We're really privileged to have him focus only on building community in Eugene.
And he's going to be here
he
on
can get off into all kinds of things.
Now, is he visiting anywhere else in the United States? We must be able to go see two events on the page. I tell you what, if anybody has any interest in this, definitely go to Ubuntu, ubuntuplanet.org. I'll have a link on the podcast so that you can have it. I'll ask Jules to put this up.
Here's even a tighter view of it. You can go to ubuntuplanetusa.com, because every country's got its own Ubuntu webpage.
Okay. Let me go there. And so it's separate.
No, it's connected. So Italy has its own webpage. Canada has its own,
Is it org
every country,
or com?
.com.
Okay. And I just type in ubuntuusa.com.
ubuntuplanetusa.
Oh, okay. So it's basically the same website. Okay. Well, this is pretty awesome. Oh, there's a link on the website that says local groups. It's pretty awesome, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it brings you to Planet the Circle, so you can say where you want to go. You can just unclick and just look, search for regional and local areas, and then find them there. It's very handy little website. It's really, I mean, this is what you get when you have contributionism. Somebody with really great knowledge goes, wow, I'm going to build you guys a great website.
And so they have, absolutely. Our website is more advanced than most technical people look at that website and they go, that's more advanced than any website I've ever seen. But it's designed to handle the world as it changes.
There's even one, I just saw one for the Pacific Northwest. There's one for the United States and one for Texas. There is one in Texas. It's own little thing in Texas. So I was right. So to all of our listeners in Texas, you actually can get involved. I know we have listeners in Texas. Hint, hint. Yeah, so it's pretty obvious. This is really awesome. This is really, I'm very excited about this because I think that the reason I like it is it's a ray of hope out of the dismalness. I mean, one of the things I find most disheartening is people don't have a sense of future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? That's why people flock to this so easily, and that's why it's going to catch on so fast.
Do you know who Guy McPherson is?
Pardon me?
Do you know Guy McPherson?
No, I don't.
Well, he's a professor who basically quit his job and said, I'm going to go enjoy my life because it looks like the planet's only got 50 years left. So he's good going choice. Around the country lecturing people, trying to talk them into just enjoying life, which is the good part. The downside is he says it's because we're all going to die very soon.
Systems will die.
Yes. And actually, I think it'll allow us, when the systems die, then we can actually reverse the negative harm. We'll unleash the technology that we know about.
That's right. Yeah. And if you cut people loose, you don't tie them down with limitations from, they might have an invention but can't get it out because money holds them back. If you cut out the money situation, the money contriving, then people are free to invent whatever they need, and they will invent whatever humanity needs to survive and thrive.
Right.
And trust humanity.
Yeah. Oh, and it's also not about just living in poverty or in little huts. We're talking about building systems where we can maintain a decent lifestyle without war. Because right now, our whole premise is really underlying this drive for money is war. It's always about, I want your stuff. That's what war is about.
Yeah.
So it's the whole thing, the whole paradigm has the shift. It is shifting. It's just we're in sort of, I guess, the beginnings of it all. But I love this idea of Ubuntu. I hope you'll come back and share some of this. We can actually be more.
I was going to say, if you think about your daily life and the Ubuntu contributionism, you contribute 3 hours a week to maintain your city and 3 hours a day to do what you love. And then you have all this extra time, and that time is built in building community and building family and taking care of your health and contributing in ways that you want to learn skills in art or music or whatever that you want to do. You'll have plenty of time to do that. And that in itself, that freedom in itself is worth it right there.
Yes. Well, it's the idea. Well, see, a lot of people think that, you know, they don't want to have too much time on their hands, but the idea is really about have time on your hands and develop who we are, because most people don't take the time to develop their skill set, their thinking, their thought processes. We have such a capacity as humans.
Yeah.
And we have adopted this. I mean, ironically, on this radio show, I've said this many times, that we act like battered wives. And we're willing to stay with the batterer because we don't know what's out there and we're afraid of it. We think, you know, we want to know a sure thing. That's why keeps a lot of women who are in, and men, people that are in abusive relationships, because they're afraid of what's out there. They can't see another way because they're so entrenched in the mindset of you need me. It's really gaslighting at its best.
Yeah.
This is really great. I see that Eugene has quite a few members. There's a lot of members in Eugene and the Northwest, the Pacific Northwest, this whole group. There's a lot of people here.
Yeah.
It's really amazing.
Well, we have a meetup group. We meet once a week, and you know, we have 52 members on our meetup group, and it's growing more and more every day. And when it first started, I felt like I was one person out there in the world talking about community, which seems like an oxymoron, but but it's growing more and more every day.
That's really awesome. I think one of the things, and I am definitely going to go to this thing on June 6th. I really want to hear more about it, because the idea is really about us learning a different way, because we don't have a choice. I mean, it's not like we have options here, you know? I mean, Guy McPherson, the reason I bring up Guy McPherson is he's right. If we keep doing what we've been doing, we're going to have that result. That doesn't mean we have to keep doing what we've been doing. There's options, you know?
How about that? Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, it is grave, and, you know, this is why I just refuse to not participate. You know, I refuse to participate in the name-calling and the maliciousness, and I don't know. Like, although I do lose my temper with some of these, I mean, I think that Trump is a danger. I find him, the whole political system, so is Clinton, they're all just dangerous people shoving us all about like true batterers that they really are. Like, really?
Well, how else are we supposed to realize that something is drastically wrong?
Right. That's exactly right. That's right. So maybe that's the hidden meaning of why all this happened, is because, like, now it's really getting serious, and we have to really, it's like, if you find anything out about the AI, the artificial intelligence, Jules's show, First Cup in the Morning, she talks about this often. She reads articles about how they're developing it, and their plan, they are fully on plan to have us injected and chipped and monitored and biomedically changed, and that's their whole plan for the future, and leave this planet and have the slave labor on the bottom living in the toxin stew. That's their agenda, right? I mean, they force, that's, but then we're millions more.
Yeah.
You know, like, no. I mean,
it's the massive labor force that's going to change it all, really.
Well, at a certain point, you just stand up to the batterer and go, no, you know, like, you're not doing that to me anymore. Sorry. You know, and
you know,
do something else.
Michael Tellinger's got a book out. It's called Ubuntu Contributionism. And the first half of the book is kind of, he keeps slapping you around with this wake-up call that we've been lied to, and we're slaves, and we're victims of corporations, and, you know, and you know, it really kind of rattles you a little bit. And but the end of the book, he talks about Ubuntuism and how that's, he talks about Ubuntu Contributionism and how that is an actual plan for changing the process. But he gives you a wake-up call in the first half of the book, and I've given the book to people, and they say, well, you know, I read that. That just purely upset me, you know. And I said, well, then, you know, that's what we need. We need to be rattled. And we need to wake up someday and go, really? Am I being abused? am I a battered wife, really? I didn't even know it. You know, you hit your head up against the wall so many times you don't even feel it. It's like, okay, I get it. So his understanding of the human race and how we are and who we were and who we're becoming is so clear about the changes we need to go through. And it's a little bit rattling, to be honest with you. So I just encourage people, when you read this book, be prepared to be rattled. And then they can get through it, okay. But we wake up after the book and say, I have been lied to over and over and over again. I am a slave to contribution, to corporations, and money keeps me a slave. And so when we realize that, then we can start talking about the options.
Well, and I like the idea of just putting in a few hours a week, because it'll, you know, you can put one, like, dip a toe in the system and build it stronger, because we can't just, like, quit our jobs and say, hey, that's it, we're never going to use money, because we're not in that system yet. We're not there yet, but we can build it so it like becomes a slow slide over. You know what I mean? It becomes like this curve, like a tsunami that just sort of happens. All of a sudden we have so many people involved. We're like, yeah, we don't need that stuff anymore. So when it crashes, we're not going to be that freaked out. Like, really? Okay,
yeah, exactly.
Bye.
Well, and it's time to start. You know, we can start doing this. It's a big haul. I mean, I started in Butu and Eugene by myself, as I said before, and slowly people are coming around, and most of them aren't even really active that much, you know. But the point is that we're starting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm so grateful for the fact that I can spend my time contributing. My banner says, don't fix the broken, build the new.
Yeah.
And I hold that sign out every day.
Where do you
and
hold
so
it?
People are,
here in Eugene, you hear it here in...
Yeah, I was down at the university yesterday where I met you, and I hold it up about any corner I can find. And it gets a strange reaction out of people. Yeah.
Well, but they don't quite know what we mean. I mean, these are hard things to realize, is that the history that we've been told is not real. Like, the reason that I even considered the flat earth idea is because I respect Thomas Ackerman, and I give him full credence. So when he told me he believes it's real, like after researching it, he thinks it's got sound ideas. So when I heard this, and then the other thing that I was listening to on, I went to YouTube and was listening to some videos. He talks about that we have a different ancestral history, this whole idea about evolution, and there's just different ideas that we have not even been told. And that's because he was an archaeologist and he studied all this stuff. It's very interesting, the history. I mean, I'm willing to acknowledge that because I can see in the immediate history how the history we have been lied to in the immediate history, the last 200 years, the last 150 years. A lot of what really went down is not what really went down. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The history books, what people say, that didn't, like the 9/11 story, that's the first big story. That's what really jolted me. I was like, it was obvious that day, it was a complete pack of lies. That day. I mean, I was spitting nails looking at the television, you know, screaming at the TV going, really? You guys are really going to change the story halfway through the day?
Okay.
So,
well,
look,
Ananda,
we have gone an hour now. We're just got a minute and a half left. Just so I wanted to thank you for coming on. I hope you'll be a regular. And I actually am going to reach out to Michael Tellinger, and I would love to have him on. I'm going to listen to
him. Oh, he would love that.
Great. So, because I really do want to promote this idea of Ubuntu, and I hope you guys will come on regularly.
Oh, thank you so much for that invitation, and you just made my day. I appreciate you so much.
And you know what would be really awesome? I'm going to reach out to the other communities and say if anybody else wants to share their ideas and how they're making it work in their own communities. That's really what we need to do, is show people that this is a viable thing that does work, but it takes us to actually do it, not just sign up. Mm-hmm. You have to do it.
Yeah, it's true.
There's a monthly
call that you can go on, and you can hear the whole Ubuntu world come in and report how it's doing, and they'll send that information over to you.
And that is at ubuntuplanet.org, UBUNTUPLANET.org.
USA.org.
Okay, USA.
Okay. UbuntuPlanetUSA.org. That will bring you more to the local,
to the
what's
US.
Happening in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Ananda, we'll talk after the show. I'll reschedule you. Thank you for joining us. I'm really grateful for these ideas, and I am actually, I don't think we have a choice. We're being broken free. So we decide we're going to stand and live and embrace life, and that's my choice. I'm not going to even consider an alternative.
That's right. That's my choice, too, and thanks for joining me.
Well, thank you. And you guys, put your courage feet on. We will talk to you tomorrow. Take some action. Lean into it. Every voice matters. Talk to you guys.
truth on the tracks. You can